Welcome, dear listener, to the Coastal Magic Podcast, Elves, Fairies, and Dragons at the Beach. I'm Melanie McCree, your host and author of all short stories featured on the podcast. This is Episode 17, Vitamancer, Finale. In our last episode, wherein Alex was granted the title of Vitamancer by Ian and Barry, Alex had reached an understanding with Annalise and was finally beginning to get a reserve of core magic built up. But he didn't have enough magic to be able to properly defend himself when Frank arrived in the middle of the night, carrying Annalise's stolen wings. To keep Frank from breaking the wings, Alex agreed to travel to a remote location and to follow two conditions. Firstly, Alex must not get too close to the wings, and secondly, Alex must not ask questions. But when they arrived at a familiar beach, the beach where, in fact, Alex first formed a contract with a vampire named Alphonse, Alex discovered that Alphonse was waiting for him. And unlike the last time, Alex has no special magical gift to offer in trade for his freedom and safety. And now, our story. Vitamancer, Finale. Once again, here Alex was on a deserted beach, with vampires surrounding him. Not that this was exactly like last time. No, last time there had been daylight.
"You cannot see us, can you?" Alphonse said. "You don't know what I plan to do. Just as I didn't know what you plan to do." His voice went cold and vicious. "When you took my clan."
"You were trying to kill me," Alex thought. He didn't say it out loud. No point. Alphonse said something in French, and four flashlights came on at once, lighting a path from the roadside to the middle of the beach. Where Annalise's wings rested, the dips and rises of the sand making the stone sit cockeyed, so that one wing was higher than the other.
"My third condition," Frank murmured, and chuckled when Alex jumped, "is that you will not run, no matter what transpires. Do you understand?"
Alex nodded. These were vampires, and he couldn't see the road. He couldn't run from them anyway. He took one big step down, off the roadside and onto the beach, and walked through the circles of light to stand next to Annalise's wings.
"You are much reduced," Alphonse said. "When Francois told me, I did not believe it. So, give me an order."
Alex said nothing. "Give me an order," Alphonse shouted.
"Don't shout," Alex said.
Alphonse shouted something at him in French, and all the vampires laughed, including Frank.
"How did you achieve this, Francois?"
Alphonse asked. Alex frowned. Wait, how had Frank achieved it?
"I have my ways," Frank said. "Are all terms met?"
Alphonse waved impatiently.
"Yes, yes, your debt to me is cleared."
"Excellent," Frank said, and leaped at the nearest vampire. There was a choking noise, and then Alex smelled blood, a second choke, and a third, and a fourth, and then all four flashlights dropped to the sand.
"So fast," Alex thought. "He did it so fast. How? And what's the smart move right now?"
"Frank told me not to run, but running seems like the logical thing to do." As soon as the thought crossed his mind, he knew he couldn't do it. First, he'd have to leave Annalise's wings behind. They were huge, and he'd need vampire strength to carry them all the way back to Frank's car and slide them into the back seat. And second, it would be stupid to take off in a panic when two apex predators were in fight mode just a few feet away.
"It's bad enough that I smell like fear," Alex thought, "and I'm certain I do."
"This is why you needed the serum," Alphonse shouted. "To betray me?"
Then he shouted something in French, and Frank laughed and answered in French, which was just what you'd expect Frank to do in a fight, really. And then Alex heard snarling and the thick sounds of fists pounding on bodies, and knew that somewhere very close to him, two vampires were trying to kill each other. "I can't see them," Alex thought, frantic. "I can't see anything. Maybe I can grab a flashlight?" Two pairs of feet kicked and shuffled in and out of the patchy circle of light. "Nope," Alex thought. "Can't get a flashlight." Then he realized how close the vampires were to Annalise's wings. He knelt to grab them and drag them away, his fingers scrabbling at the nearest edge, but the wings were thicker than his hands could manage. He tried sliding his arms under them, but a few seconds of struggle made it clear that to get his arms under far enough, he'd have to be able to lift the wings. He edged around until he could put his feet against the wings and push with his heels, but he only slid backward over the sand. The wings didn't move. The fact that Frank had carried the stone wings like they were a basket of laundry was terrifying. "If they were feathers," Alex thought, "they'd be lighter." But in the darkness, outside the jagged ring of flashlight beams, he could hear two vampires snarling and hissing, could hear the thump whenever one of them fell and their grunts of pain. The smell of their blood was so strong, his mouth tasted like metal. "One of them is going to win soon," Alex thought. "It might not be Frank." He stroked his hand over the stone wings. "She never asked me to turn them back," he realized. "But I don't think she was afraid to ask. I think she just trusted that I would do it as soon as I could." There was a hissing cough and the sound of someone falling. And then Alphonse staggered into view. It was hard to see his face. It was too far above the glow of the flashlights. But Alex could see every step Alphonse took, every slow footfall, closer and closer to Alex. There were gashes leaking blood down his legs, leaving a dripping trail as he walked. "I'm sure he's like that all over," Alex thought. "Frank was on some kind of vampire steroid, although it looks like maybe he didn't make it. If I turn Alphonse human, he'll die of those wounds. He won't have time to kill me. Of course, turning him human is probably going to drain all my magic, so we'll both end up dying. And..." Alex slid his hands over the wings again, feeling the texture of the feathers. The tiny filaments, the short, frilly part near the bottom of the quill, the long, brushy ends at the top. He could feel how much the skin wanted to fly again. "Sorry, Uncle Matt. One last stupid thing." He pushed his magic into the stone. It ran along the surface of the feathers and soaked in. He felt the stiff quill soften and the feathers turn light and thin and smooth. "They smell like Annalise," Alex thought. "I didn't know that I knew what she smells like." He looked up, and Alphonse was standing over him. "This was the right choice," Alex thought. "Maybe Alphonse will take the swanskin, but Uncle Matt and the Coastal Magic guys will get it back. And I'm Annalise's one, so Alphonse won't be able to control her. No one will." Something lunged from the darkness. Frank grabbed Alphonse and shoved him to the ground. He knelt on Alphonse's back, took hold of Alphonse's head, and with a hard yank, broke his neck. And with another harder yank, ripped the head right off Alphonse's body. Alex shuddered and swallowed hard to keep from vomiting. "The skin," he thought. "Just a little more. Only the floaty part between the feathers is left." It was taking more magic than the wings. The floaty part was complicated. "I did warn you," Frank said, in a rasping tone, nothing like his usual smooth boredom, "that a time would come when Annalise was not here to save you." Alex smiled as his vision went dim. "I order you to give Annalise's wings back to her."
he felt himself tip forward. "That's it," he thought. "I'm out." Frank made a disgusted noise.
"Matthew Fisher truly would shoot me," he said, and put his hand on the back of Alex's neck. "Take it, you idiot child."
Alex came to slowly. He was cold. He was lying on something uneven. He could hear the sea. "I'm not dead," he thought. "But none of the flashlights are on." "Frank?"
"Condition two," Frank said.
"I don't remember which one that was, sorry."
"I anticipated you would forget that one first," Frank said.
"Where are all the flashlights?"
"I appropriated them."
"So I wouldn't be able to see?"
"Vampires can be petty."
"Why do you sound weird?"
"I never sound weird."
"Like you need a cough drop."
"Ah, because Alphonse attempted to crush my windpipe."
Alex thought about that, and about being cold, and about being alone with Frank, and whether Frank was going to leave him on the beach.
"You are wondering why I killed Alphonse?"
"I was trying not to think about that part, actually," Alex admitted. "Did they all turn to ash?"
"Both the bodies and blood are gone."
"The ash will still be there."
"You will, in time, notice that it has become windy."
"Is vampire ash pretty light?"
"Far lighter than sand."
"That was good." "Are you going to make me walk home?" Alex asked.
"What do you think?"
"Yes."
"Correct."
Now that he'd been forced to remember Alphonse's death, Alex also remembered the way Frank and Alphonse sounded when they fought, like animals. Alex wasn't sure his throat could even make the sounds that Frank and Alphonse made. "Why did you save me?" Alex asked.
"I did not. I spared myself a battle with the BNT.
"You didn't, actually. You basically kidnapped me." Frank turned his head. Alex only knew that because there were suddenly two soft red glows in the otherwise complete blackness.
"I didn't know such thing. You chose to accompany me. If you think back, you will realize that I never invited you to do so. I merely specified which seat I wished you to occupy once you made the decision to travel in my car. You will note that the fairy kind inability to lie did not hamper my statement in any way."
"Uncle Matt will look for a way to arrest you."
"You now possess the same amount of magic that you did before you left the prince's abominable office building. You were not harmed in any way. You did not participate in the battle. In fact, I expressly forbade it."
Alex grinned. He couldn't help it. The third condition.
"Do not run." "Correct."
The two glowing red dots vanished. Frank wasn't looking at Alex anymore.
"Furthermore, the Swan Maid's wings are restored. At most, Agent Fisher can accuse me of forcing a legal adult to walk several miles at night. This offense is neither against human law nor addressed in the human fairy kind accords."
"Did you actually double-check that?"
"I did."
Alex began to laugh. Frank clicked his tongue.
"You are recovered, I see.
Very well. I must return to Seaside for blood. I cannot take some of yours, for reasons that I trust are clear.
You are faster than normal when you fought.
I do not intend to tell you why.
Was it special blood?
Do not misunderstand, Frank said. I did not arrange this rendezvous in order to eliminate your enemy. Alphonse was difficult to manage. He wanted you badly enough to abandon caution.
Frank's voice went low and furious.
You tricked me. You curtailed my freedom. You gave me orders. You forgot that you are prey.
Alex didn't hear Frank rise to leave, of course. You only heard Frank if he wanted you to know he was there. But the cold, predatory menace that Frank broadcasted was abruptly missing. In a voice barely audible over the wail of the wind, Frank said,
"My regards to the Swan Maid."
A few seconds later, Alex heard the big black sports car drive away. He rolled onto his side. He would need to curl up and keep warm as best he could until the sun rose enough that he could find his way to the road. There was something soft next to him. Alex ran his hand over it. Feathers. Alex smiled and pulled Annalise's wings over himself and waited for morning. Matt was so angry, all he could say was Alex's name and, "I will shoot, Frank." Barry was kind of angry, but mostly glad about Annalise's swanskin. Ian thought it was a good story, especially the part with the vampire fight, although he got teary-eyed when he saw the swanskin all fluffy and rippling. He can be a bird, too, Alex thought. I guess that makes sense. The house brownies waffled between disapproval that Alex had snuck out to do something dangerous and delight at the return of Annalise's swanskin. Delight prevailed. Dessert that night was apple pie a la mode. Annalise took the swanskin with trembling hands and pressed her face against it. She stood that way for a good minute, her shoulders shaking with silent sobs. Then she called everyone outside, and they watched as she tossed the skin into the air and a cloth made of light and long white feathers settled over her. She spread her wings and took to the sky and didn't come down for 2 hours. Alex watched her and waited for her to land. When she landed and turned human again, her skin rolled itself up until it was the size of a pencil stub. She tucked it into the small pouch that hung by a ribbon around her neck. Then she threw her arms around Alex, stood on her tiptoes, and kissed him. Alex wasn't expecting it. He wasn't sure what to do. Movies hadn't prepared him at all. She broke the kiss and blushed up at him. "I won't do it again, I promise," she said, her arms still around his neck. "Without asking, I mean, unless you want me to."
Alex thought about that, but not for long. He carefully settled his hands on her lower back.
"It was pretty great, actually," he said, and let her kiss him again.
You've been listening to episode 17, Vitamancer, Finale, the last episode in season 1 of Coastal Magic. Season 2 begins in 2 weeks. You'll meet the last two employees of Coastal Magic Solutions, as well as some of the fairy-kind creatures who make their home in Seaside. The black dog, Corey Hines. The cat She, Jack Sowen. The dragon, Ignis. The centaur, Ted Papadopoulos. Plus, you'll spend time getting to know the members of Matt's team as they work to solve fairy-kind-related cases. Don't forget to follow the show.
you don't want to miss a single episode of Season 2. The friendly folks at Coastal Magic Solutions are delighted you stopped by. Until next time, dear listener, be kind, be well, and remember, in Seaside, it's not enough to speak softly and carry a big stick. Do what the locals do. Whisper and arm yourself to the teeth.